A mansion in Denmark's wealthiest neighborhood, a portfolio worth over $2 million, features in glossy magazines celebrating you as a rising star. Then, 2 years later, it's gone. Not just the money, but more than most people earn in their entire lives. This wasn't a cautionary tale from the 2008 financial crisis. This was Kim Vidcare's lived reality, and it became the foundation for understanding why 90% of startups collapse. What's remarkable isn't the fall itself, it's what came after. Instead of hiding in shame, Vidcare dissected over 160,000 failed companies across 15 years, searching for patterns in the wreckage. The result challenges everything we think we know about entrepreneurship. We celebrate founders who believed in themselves and never gave up, but what if those very qualities are destroying promising ventures? What if the mindset that gets you started is the same one that leads you off a cliff? Think about the last time you had a brilliant business idea. Maybe you were in the shower, or stuck in traffic, or lying awake at 3 a.m. You felt that electric surge of possibility. Then what happened? If you're like most people, you filed it away under someday and returned to your stable job, your predictable income, your comfortable routine. Here's the uncomfortable truth. The biggest failure isn't losing money or shutting down. It's never starting at all. We create elaborate excuses dressed up as practical concerns. Too young, too old, family obligations, market timing. But age is fiction in entrepreneurship. Mark Pincus launched Zynga at 41. Arianna Huffington built HuffPost at 54. Colonel Sanders was 62 when KFC finally succeeded. The right time is a mirage that keeps receding as you approach it. Yet starting requires more than blind optimism. There's a simple litmus test, the toilet test. If you think about your idea as often as you use the bathroom, if it makes everything else fade into background noise, if your pulse quickens when you imagine it coming to life, that's your signal. Not market research, not financial projections. Your body already knows. But here's where it gets tricky. Once you start, imposter syndrome arrives like clockwork. You'll climb what researchers call Mount Stupid, that early peak of confidence when you don't yet know what you don't know. Then comes the crash into the valley of despair, where increased wisdom reveals how little you actually understand. Most founders quit here, mistaken growing competence for incompetence. The ones who survive reach the slope of enlightenment, where wisdom and confidence finally align. The antidote isn't waiting until you feel ready. You'll never feel ready. It's strategic self-deception. Fake it till you make it. Start calling yourself an entrepreneur, not someone who just started a company. Strike power poses before important meetings. Keep an accomplishment journal. These aren't empty affirmations. They're rewiring your brain's threat response system. And please stop plate spinning. That brilliant secondary idea can wait. Create a not-to-do list to capture inspiration without fragmenting your focus. Accomplish more by doing less. It sounds paradoxical until you try it. Companies serving Nike, Lego, and Disney still collapse, not from lack of talent, but from never answering, how does money actually flow through this business? Vine had millions of users, but died because popularity isn't a business model. When Instagram added video, Vine had no revenue strategy to compete. They confused attention with value, fatal for startups with impressive metrics and empty bank accounts. The solution? Spend 15 minutes sketching a business model canvas. Alexander Osterwalder's one-page framework with 9 essential components. Then expand it with budgets and timelines. Most founders skip this because it feels less exciting than building product. But launching without a business model is like jumping from a plane to figure out the parachute on the way down. Your industry choice matters more than effort. Michael Porter's 5 Forces framework reveals why some industries destroy startups while others offer genuine opportunities. If threat of new entrants, threat of substitutes, bargaining power of suppliers and buyers, and competitive rivalry all work against you, brilliant execution won't matter. You're swimming against a riptide. Then there's the problem-solution trap. Juicero raised $120 million for a $700 Wi-Fi juice press that squeezed proprietary packets. Journalists discovered you could squeeze them by hand just as effectively. Before building anything, verify the problem is painful enough that people will actually pay to fix it. Entrepreneurs pitch Pinterest for recipes without checking if 20 identical ventures crashed. Over 20 Pinterest clones collapsed, Pinspire, Pincat, Pinterly, each thinking they'd found a market gap when they'd found a research gap. But being too original is equally dangerous. Washboard charged $27 to deliver $20 worth of quarters for laundromats, solving a problem so minor nobody considered it worth solving. Empty markets often signal unprofitable ideas, not overlooked opportunities. The real research challenge is understanding network effects, where products become more valuable as more people use them. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Uber benefit from network effects that make them nearly impossible to displace. Google learned this with Wave, Buzz, and Plus, three failed Facebook competitors despite superior resources. So what should you research? Talk to customers about their lives, not just your product. Webvan launched grocery delivery without consulting customers, missing Americans' attachment to coupons. Your minimal viable product is where research meets reality. Google Glass launched without proper MVP testing, ignoring privacy concerns. The backlash was brutal. Meanwhile, Tesla releases incremental features, highway steering, then self-parking, improving through real feedback. Test what enhances your value proposition, do just enough research to understand your product, then launch something viable, not perfect, viable. Funding is the startup world's favorite obsession and most dangerous distraction. Pearl Automation, founded by former Apple engineers, raised $50 million based purely on pedigree. They built a $500 rearview camera that flopped, overpriced and redundant. The funding masked fundamental product problems by removing financial pressure that forces brutal prioritization. Contrast this with Glossier. Emily Weiss spent years running a beauty blog, gathering feedback, building an audience, proving her case before seeking funding. The lesson? Prove your case to get funded. Don't get funded to prove your case. Bootstrapping forces clarity. When every dollar matters, you can't afford to build features nobody wants. Seek investment when your equity post-infusion will be worth more than before, not when you're desperate. Wiseacre Frozen Treats expanded from 1 to 14 employees, moved to a large facility, then went bankrupt within a year. They confused growth with progress. Calculate your burn rate obsessively. Treat cash like oxygen, because that's what it is. Then there's the cap table, one of the few truly unfixable mistakes. Even Steve Jobs lost control of Apple, watching his ownership dilute from 26% to 11% before getting forced out. Vet co-founders and investors thoroughly. Seek smart money that brings networks and knowledge, not just capital. Hire a contract attorney before signing anything. Every year, 30,000 new products launch. Over 95% fail. The first trap is FNAC, feature, not a company. WeWork exemplified this, masquerading as a tech company when they were really just a real estate middleman with free beer. Their identity crisis led them from a $47 billion valuation to $2.7 billion. If existing companies could easily add your business as a feature, you don't have a company, you have a job application. Instagram understood this. They started as feature-heavy bourbon until CEO Kevin Systrom ruthlessly focused on mobile photo sharing alone. Define your product in its simplest form. What's the one thing you do that nobody else does as well? If you can't answer in one sentence, you have confusion, not clarity. The Big Bang release usually detonates in your face. Rand Fishkin of Moz pushed for a massive release of Moz Analytics in 2013, despite team concerns. The rushed product disappointed customers and damaged the company financially. Break offerings into smaller, frequent releases, turning every launch into a learning opportunity rather than a make-or-break moment. Beware the X meets Y trap and unnecessary features. Maxwell House's ready-to-drink coffee merged coffee with convenience, but couldn't be microwaved in its container, defeating its entire purpose. Apply the 80% equals 100% rule to branding. If you're 80% satisfied with your name and logo, move on. Your product should consume your attention, not perfecting your website's color scheme. Your team determines your startup's fate more than your product or funding. Yet hiring is where founders make their most emotional decisions. Two archetypes emerge: young workers willing to sacrifice for equity, or seasoned professionals requiring real salaries. Neither is inherently better. What matters is complementary skills. If you're a visionary who can't execute, you need an operator. If you're technical but can't sell, you need a rainmaker. Co-founders are essential. Without one, nobody challenges your worst ideas or maintains momentum when you're exhausted. But choosing a co-founder is like marriage. Don't rush it. Date potential partners, learning how they handle conflict and pressure. Here's a disaster waiting to happen: starting a business with friends, family, or romantic partners. The Kellogg brothers founded their cereal empire, but spent decades feuding. When hiring, attitude matters more than aptitude. One toxic employee can destroy morale. Build diverse teams. Pinky gloves, designed by men for women's menstrual needs, faced massive backlash for solving a non-existent problem. Firing is the skill nobody wants, but everyone needs. Two legitimate reasons exist: wrong fit or unaffordable. Never fire someone who hasn't seen it coming. Most founders imagine themselves as lifelong CEOs, but this isn't always realistic. David Helgeson of Unity self-fired when recognizing the company needed stronger marketing leadership. If you lack essential CEO qualities, the most courageous move is stepping aside. Without sales infrastructure, you have an expensive hobby, not a business. Hire trained salespeople who understand the sales cycle. Track all conversion points, cold calls, website visits, signups, not just where you focus energy. Without measurement, improvement is impossible. Sales cycles always run longer than expected. Mobile Igniter estimated 3 to 6 months for manufacturing clients. Reality was 9 to 12 months. Use CRM systems to maintain consistent flow and avoid feast or famine cycles. Finding the right audience is critical. Danish dating app Swipes failed despite beautiful design and $1 million in funding because they never achieved product market fit. Young startups often customize products for individual customers, offering substantial money. Gary Swart of IntelliBank attributed their failure to exactly this. Every customer was asking for something different, and we gave it to them. We should have developed just one product. Recognize there are right and wrong customers for your business. Don't overpromise. The Grid raised $5 million promising AI-powered custom websites but delivered buggy sites. Fire Festival sold $500 to $12,000 tickets for luxury but delivered 10 cities with cold cheese sandwiches. The gap between promise and delivery determines whether customers become evangelists or enemies. Startup growth demands marathon endurance, not sprint speed. Pivoting is both overused and underutilized. Young companies pivot unnecessarily, while mature ones refuse to adapt when needed. OneFall collapsed after abandoning its personalized gift service for generic e-commerce. Blockbuster dismissed Netflix. Successful pivots require solid market research, core competencies, and targeting the same audience. Founders constantly focus on wrong priorities: clingy, low-value clients, endless learning without action, obsessing over logos instead of building product, and meaningless meetings. Salorix had $3.5 million in funding and Google acquisition offers, but the founders' quibbling killed the deal. Watch for mental traps like loss aversion, availability heuristics, anchoring, confirmation bias, and survivorship bias. Complexity strangles growth. Supercell organized into independent cells, giving teams freedom to create. Crumb's Bake Shop expanded from one NYC store to 70 locations, riding the cupcake craze into bankruptcy. Make haste slowly. Focus on natural growth, customer experience, and financial discipline. Perseverance separates successful founders from the rest. Chris Hill Scott quit SwiftKey after 2 months. Years later, Microsoft acquired it for $100 million. Ravios Pekka Rantala released 51 unsuccessful games before Angry Birds. But here's the paradox: sometimes not knowing when to quit is worse than failing. For stale startups stuck between meager profits and bankruptcy, continuing may be worse than closing. Set clear goals and deadlines. If you repeatedly miss them, quitting isn't fatigue, but wisdom. Failure is merely a stepping stone if you learn from it. Bill Gates and Paul Allen's first startup, Trafo Data, failed before Microsoft. Research shows it's usually the fourth startup that outperforms. So if that business idea keeps you awake at night, start. If you're drowning in mistakes, keep going. If you've failed spectacularly, remember every successful entrepreneur has a graveyard of failures behind them. The difference isn't that they never fell, it's that they got back up with hard-won wisdom lighting their path.